Most gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for our faith. We also give you thanks for the work that comes with our faith. May the words that I will share with your people this morning and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable to you. Amen. So, like the story that we heard from last week of the Good Samaritan, this story of this week about Mary and Martha is also very familiar. Partly because the story of Mary and Martha comes right after the story of the Good Samaritan. And perhaps rightly so, in that we'll be able to compare the two stories to look at what it means to work and to be in service, but also to look at what it means to learn and to grow in our faith. So the context of the story tells us that Jesus and his disciples are continuing on with their journey. They're journeying on to Jerusalem. And they come to a village where a woman named Martha invites Jesus to her home. Martha had a sister named Mary. And rather than being a good sister and helping Martha out in preparation of the meal or whatever it was that she was preparing for their guests, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and ignore all of her responsibilities. And what does Martha do? Well, like anyone that ends up with all the work, with anyone that ends up doing, you know, all the work in the kitchen, she's completely frustrated and upset with her sister. So she goes to Jesus and complains that she was left to do all the work, to send her sister Mary to the kitchen or to help her with the work that needed to be done. It seems rather odd that Martha would ask her guests to tell her own sister to come and help. Why didn't she just ask Mary herself? Why didn't she just go up to Mary and say, "Hey, Mary, you better get to the back and help me with the things that needs to be prepared"? Rather, she went to her guest, to Jesus himself, to let Jesus tell Mary to come and help her. But could it be that her own sister would not have listened to her? Or could it be it was more polite to ask her guests to release her sister, since her sister Mary was also extending hospitality by attending to their guests in conversation? I know that to be a host of a guest, and especially somebody of importance, could be a big chore. I mean, you're so busy serving from the kitchen and also trying to attend to them and entertaining the guests and making conversation with them that you're trying to be in two different places at one time. I remember growing up in Hawaii, we were often hosts to guests that came through. We were hosts to them, and most of them, actually all of them, were family members. Some more important than others, whether it was due to their ranking in our family hierarchical system. In my culture, there's a hierarchical system that we abide to. There's always a hierarchy within the church, within the family, and also within society. But in any case, when someone of importance came by, they would often come by, stop over in Hawaii, because Hawaii was an entry point to the U.S. But also, it was a major stopover. Either they were traveling here to the upper 48 states, as we would often refer to the 48 states, or they were traveling on to another country, either on church business, or they may have been a student that was attending school abroad. but we would always put out the best of everything, which may not be much today, but back then in those days, it was everything because it was everything that we had because our family didn't have very much. I remember that the kitchen was always busy and that my mom was always busy preparing. Now, but my parents were always seemingly happy to receive these guests. I, as a child, was always happy because that meant we got to eat good food, and often it would mean that we were treated, good in various ways, and that we were enjoying, somebody from, that was just visiting us, and that also, that meant good things, good conversations, good company, and so forth. But as I look back at it now, it seemed like it was much of a task for my parents. I didn't have too many tasks since I was only a child, but for my parents, it could have been a big chore to go through all the preparation of receiving somebody of importance in our household, of preparing not only the meal, but preparing to take them or to pick them up from wherever they were going to, because often meetings were held there in Honolulu. But in any case, Jesus responds to Martha and tells her that Mary had chosen the good part, that Mary had chosen the better part, and that no, she was not coming to help her. So could you just imagine what Martha must have felt? She probably stormed out of there, upset at both of them, and just could not believe the response that she was getting from Jesus. Here she was coming to plead with him to tell her sister to come and help her, and Jesus tells her no, that she was not coming to help her. I mean, I know that I would be upset. I mean, and I'll tell you something else. I would probably be so upset that I would tell them to, fine, go fetch the meal for yourself. And I'd come and sit at Jesus' feet also. But thank goodness that Martha did not have my attitude. But we all have sisters or siblings like Mary, or know someone like that. Or we all have sisters or siblings like Martha, or someone like that. But I think that Jesus' response is something that we should take note of, because I think that he does this for a couple of reasons. From last week, he told the lawyer or that religious scholar to go and show mercy to his neighbors like that of the Good Samaritan, to not only love God, but to also show mercy, hospitality, and to love his neighbors. And that would be the way to the kingdom. But this week, it seems that Martha was doing just that, showing hospitality to her guests, trying to prepare a meal, and perhaps even trying to impress her guests, trying to impress Jesus. But Jesus does not return the favor. He does not seem to appreciate the hospitality that was being extended to him, and especially to Martha, since she's the one that invited him to her household. And rather, he places order on what comes first. He places order, and that is to do what Mary did, and that was to love God first by hearing and learning, and that hospitality comes second. But the case of extending hospitality to one's house guests, I think, is important in every culture. I know that in my own Tongan culture, whenever someone comes over for a visit, they were a guest. And it was always hospitable and customary to prepare a meal for this person, or at the very least, offer them a drink. And like the Jewish culture of Jesus' time, it was also customary that the guests receive the meal and the drink and not be choosy about what meal they were receiving in front of them. They were to eat whatever was placed in front of them, and not to, and for one not to receive the meal, or for one not to receive the drink that was offered to them by their hosts, would be considered rude. But I bet some of you have the same type of culture tradition. But nevertheless, I think that hospitality is of extreme importance, but attending to one's spiritual nourishment is of greater importance. When Jesus told Martha that she was worried and upset about too many things, I think that what he said was that you needed to find a balance in your work and in your faith. Jesus was very well aware of what goes into preparing a meal and what goes into welcoming a guest into one's household, and that all of those things are important. You already know this because if it wasn't for the many of you that works here at the church, that for the various things that you come and do on a daily basis, from taking care of the property, the church property, from taking care of the church grounds, from everything, from changing a simple light bulb to printing the bulletin, and attending to the various ministries and missions of the church would not be here. The church would not be functional without the work that we all put in, that you all put in towards work for the church. And everything that we do is important if it helps us to become more faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and if it helps us glorify the name of God. But I think that Jesus recognized that Martha allowed her anger and her frustration to get the better part of her. And she was, of course, envious of her sister Mary that chose the better part. I always find Jesus calling Martha, calling her name twice, a little bit comical. Because whenever someone has to repeat your name, it means that you were either in trouble or that you were in double trouble. I know that that parents are notorious for doing that to their children, either calling their name twice or saying their first, middle, and last name. But it also reminds me of a show, the show called The Brady Bunch. This is a show that I grew up with, and it was one of my my favorite. And you know, the older sister in the Brady Bunch, her name was Marcia, and the youngest sister, her name was Jan. And Jan would always be envious of Marcia because Marcia was getting all the glory, she was getting all the praises, and getting all the rewards and awards because Marcia, I guess, she was deserving of all those things. But Jan, the younger sister, was always envious. It was always like, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. It's Marcia this, Marcia that, Marcia this. But it reminds me when Jesus, you know, lamented and called Martha, Martha, Martha. So Martha, Martha, meaning Martha, you know, you are complaining too much, that your focus is not in the right place. But I think that a key lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us here in this passage is that we can't get ourselves too caught up with the busyness of life, the busyness of the ministries and missions of the church, that we miss out on our spiritual nourishment. We can't run around doing all the goods in the world without also taking time out to nourish our faith. We can't be too occupied with our everyday living that we forget the source of our everyday receiving and our being. We can't go about our daily routine without also remember to taking time out to pray and to worship. We can't be too busy in doing the ministry and life that we can't stop long enough to listen for God's voice. And as Henry Nouwen had once said, If we don't do that, we will only remain full but unfulfilled. Remaining full and unfulfilled. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt full but unfulfilled? We become full with our busy schedule and our overcommitments, and we become unfulfilled in our nourishment for our body, for our mind, and for our soul. We can be unfulfilled in our spiritual and faith nourishment when we don't intentionally take the time out for it. I remember that throughout my 5 years in seminary, I had always held a full-time job. So here I was attending seminary full-time and also working full-time. It wasn't always easy because that meant I was lacking in sleep. So it meant that I was tired all the time. And I remember one time I was sharing my complaints with a class at Perkins and sharing those very complaints with the professor. And the professor, he said to me, "Well, but who forced that upon you? Who told you that you needed to attend seminary full time, and who told you you had to work full time?" Basically, pointing the finger back at me and letting me know that I was responsible, that I was accountable to finding that balance between my work, my spiritual life, and my school, and that no one else was going to do it for me. I mean, and so the professor seemingly, is unsympathetic, uncaring, and unpastoral, I thought, was absolutely correct. No one could have made those choices for me. I brought on all of those things myself. So here, I think that one of the points that Jesus was trying to convey to Martha is that she also needed to find a balance between her serving and her learning. She needed to find a balance between her faithfully giving and her gracefully receiving. But another point that we can all learn from this passage is that for Mary to have chosen the better part in sitting by Jesus' feet was not only non-traditional of that time, where she was neglecting the traditional duty of assisting her sister in the kitchen or preparation of the meal, she was also in violation of the social boundary of taking up a role that was usually filled by a male. But who allowed for this? But Jesus himself, who also broke the social barrier to teach women. The story of the Good Samaritan and the story of Mary and Martha is not complete without the other. They belong together as they each reinforce of what it means to love God and to also love neighbor. The life of a disciple or a follower of Christ requires both. But the two stories also shows two unlikely people, two unlikely characters, heroes if you want to call them that. Here we have a Samaritan who was a foreigner, who was not considered to be a part of the society. And here we have a woman, Mary, who was not permitted by her culture to be a learner, to be a disciple. But breaking the social codes and boundaries of society were something that Jesus often did. The rules of society, according to Jesus, were only two, and that was number one, to love God, and number two, that was to love your neighbor. Some of the questions that this passage asks of us are, what does it mean for us as individuals and as a church? Do we also break the social barriers that surround us? How do we practice what Jesus had taught? Do we only do some and not the others? Do we only do what is comfortable to us? And how do we find a balance between faith and work? How do we do both? How do we involve ourselves with the ministries and missions of the church and also grow in faith? One without the other is not the answer. We need to do both. We need to find a good, healthy balance between the two. And like what my seminary professor had told me, we are the only ones that can answer that question. But this leads back to our message from last week, that we should love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And that we should also love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And finding a balance to do all of it is the key, because we can't do one and ignore the other. We must do it all if we are to become truly faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come to the end of our worship service, if you would like to join Bethel United Methodist Church, please come forward during the last verse.
Please stand as we sing "Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us," hymn 381. 381. Please stand. We'll sing the first and the fourth stanzas.
Blessed Jesus, God has loved us still. Blessed Jesus.